Welcome, After Buzzers. On tonight's Queen Sugar After Show, we talk Ralph Angel's Second Chance, Jacob and Charlie's Dirty Little Secret, and Nova's Resignation. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, After Buzzers? We are back a little late, but we're going to have a full show for you guys with a full panel. Welcome.
Yes.
Yes.
Candy's back.
Yes. Hey, y'all.
Glad to see everyone, guys. As always, my name is Shaka Smith, joined by my lovely co-host.
Hey, guys. It's so good to be back. Are you ready for another amazing season of Queen Sugar?
Let's do it. Yes.
Yeah, so I'm Candy. I'm just that excited, y'all. So glad to be back. And what's up, Sally?
Your favorite Afro-Latina is here, friend. Yes. Sally Chapman. Hey, y'all.
Hey, it's Takira Shabre here. You know, kicking it.
Let's get into it. But before we get into it, we actually have some special segments this time. We're going to have our sweet tweet segment. So hopefully you guys at home are in our chat room, have held on to your favorite tweetable moments. We have our favorite tweetable moments here too. So we'll share that with you guys a little bit later. And we also have our news segment. So Sally's going to handle that, right?
You know I'm always holding it down for the news over here.
Yes. But let's just get into it. What are your overall thoughts on this episode?
Listen.
It was like nice to get that second one right after.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I want to say that I feel like this episode was full of so many blessings. Mm-hmm. So many great things that are happening for our cast members this season. You know, we got big checks coming in the mail. You know, it's a lot of great news. So that really warms my heart to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you got it? Me got it?
Yeah,
you know, I like the Latin flavor that is coming through the episode. We'll talk about that later. You know what I'm talking about?
She was so excited.
I was so excited.
Romero.
Okay, so
Romero.
Can you help some of us? You got to roll your R's. Romero.
Okay, but we'll talk about that later. But overall, yes, I'm excited for the diversity, for the spice that's coming in there. And just excited to see the things that we talked about last night so quick. Like the fact that I got this episode back to back, and that I'm able to see some of the things that I said I knew were gonna happen. So overall, great second episode.
Predictions coming true,
right?
Like that
already,
quick.
Yeah,
like,
right?
On our stuff. I like the breaking out of the shell. A lot of people are just like forcing. It's like that seed in the ground. They're just like urging to break free. So I like that, and we mentioned a little bit of it in our predictions last night. Not last week, but last night. Yeah. But yeah, I like seeing that.
I like what you did there, seed in the ground. You did.
She did it.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I think we're seeing these characters. They were introduced to each other, almost like reintroduced to each other, but now they're like living together, and so we're seeing the full texture of them as a family, like operating, which I really love.
It's solid. Like they got each other's back. Yeah. I'm like, yes, they one unit now.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
Honey. So yeah, it's just real. It's beautiful to see, but we got the problem start to rear their head. You know,
of course.
Summer's over, so at least for them. But yeah, topic one: Ralph Angel's second chance. I thought this was the topic that really. You know, touch on some of the other broader issues Queen Sugar always likes to touch on.
Yes.
We even talked about ex-cons earlier with Celia and saying, you know, is that even a good term to use? Because ex-convict immediately puts something in your head. Mm-hmm. So he's faced now with getting his parole shortened. Good news for him. What do you guys think about this?
Oh, man, I'm so glad that they actually wrote this into this episode. And they're really showing us that. You know, just because you may have made a mistake doesn't mean that it defines your character. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that, you know, they're also showing him as somebody that's more of like a mentor for these guys that they can look up to. Because I think that that's needed. Just because you made a mistake doesn't mean that, you know, it's going to follow you for the rest of your life. You really can have a second chance.
And it's been following Raw for a minute.
For a minute. Yeah. And he's proven them wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I like the fact that he kind of insinuated on the fact that he can be in a position of leadership to be an influence that if you can do it, hey, I can do it. And for him to hire ex-cons, you know, I think that's a position that not a lot of people get to be in when they get reintroduced into the society. You know, it's definitely difficult to even recalibrate and be reintroduced because you're not reintroduced into society with open arms, unfortunately. So, and it's interesting because even on last night's episode when the kids were in the diner talking about their protests, like we all have someone. We all have someone who's been either harassed by the law or been in the system or something like that. So, I mean, I can relate to it very personally, and for me, having people in my family who have dealt with this firsthand and are dealing with it now, it's definitely a touchy issue, but I'll talk about it later in my news.
My point on, I definitely agree, like, he's given that opportunity to uplift. I definitely believe, like, it is our responsibility as humans to uplift and give someone else that opportunity that we were given. But I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit. Do you think that he should take that step if he's not fully mentally there himself?
Take the step to get off parole?
No, take the step to hire those young boys.
Well, wasn't anyone screaming? Like, I was screaming at that moment because, like, last time he was dealing with ex-cons, he almost got himself in a situation.
Right,
so
exactly.
I was like, no!
Exactly.
I'm so glad you asked that because you're right. There was a part of me that screamed, but then there was also another part of me that said, I feel like maybe, and maybe this is a prediction, that he might take pride in this moment. Because he has an emotional attachment to it. At least that's what I would like to believe.
Right.
Yeah. So I could see him really taking this seriously and maybe even being somewhat of a father figure to them, but there might be a chance that we might see the boys rebel.
But yeah, like he's having trouble being a father figure to Blue. I don't think
he's different.
Ready.
That's different. And you know it because you were talking mess about that's not his kid.
No, but
he wasn't having these kind of problems before this whole paternity situation.
I think he's having trouble being a father to Blue. I think he's having trouble because Blue wasn't there in his life.
But, I think I see where you're going.
But I'm saying, like, now he's going to take the responsibility of being a father to, like, young men that have already been incarcerated that are trying to get their lives together. He's not ready for that. He just kind of stitched together his stuff.
Okay, gotcha. Sorry, I misunderstood.
I was ready
to go to war with Shaka.
But we can talk about that later because Blue should be on a train right on
back.
We will get to that later.
Listen, y'all better not send my baby back.
but
done with y'all.
But I am glad to see Ralph Angel is getting his life together, and like I think he still needs to get those ducks in a row before he kind of moves on to the ex-cons. I don't know.
Girl.
Be on another tip.
I mean, I don't know if y'all know. You know what I'm saying? We got some new ladies to pay them. But I don't know if y'all know, but I got a thing for that Ralph.
I think everyone who watched Queen Sugar at some point has had a thing for Ralph Angel, so you're in good company.
Super down.
She's married, so she got to be careful.
I mean, I got lightly, a little chocolate thing at home, so you know.
She's just watching with one eye open.
Like that chocolate. Okay.
So, back to Ralph Angel.
Sorry.
you guys think this is a positive turn of event for Ralph Angel?
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
He needed some good positivity, too.
Actually, after the last episode, because my heart just sunk. I was like, Jesus Lord, it ain't his baby, no.
And did anyone feel any tension, at least on Ralph Angel's side?
Yes.
Because, you know, he does have Blue acting out. And I saw moments where you could see that he's beginning to unwind Blue from his life in terms of father and child. There were little moments. Even with Charlie at the end, they celebrate to freedom, and she says, and parenthood, you know.
Right.
So there were little nits. Do you see him kind of trying to unwind that relationship a little bit?
Oh, all day. I was about to say, he's more tense. Like, you know, when Blue acts out, he'd be like, oh, now come on, you know, we don't do that, right? We don't do that. And it's like instantly as if Blue blinks wrong, Ralph Angel is over here like, what'd I say? Like, he's just, like, super aggressive. And, I mean, to be honest, like, I know we kind of joke about it, but it's so sad because it's like, okay, at first you were showing patience, and now that you know he's not yours, it's starting to, like you said, unwind.
And it does change something mentally, right? A little bit.
I mean, that moment in the store really, really, like, shook me a bit because it's a touchy subject, disciplinary.
Yeah.
How you
Especially
discipline
now,
your
right?
children.
Back in the day, it wasn't.
Listen, my dad just had to look at me because I got quite a few beatings that put me in place that he didn't need to do nothing. But again, quote unquote, what's abuse? And so the way that the cop looked at Ralph Angel, way he was reprimanding Blue, I was like, oh my God, are they going to get him? Is his parole going to be in question because they might question abuse on Blue? Like, that's what I'm afraid of at this point. Because nowadays, and I'm sorry to say this, but especially if a person of color is reprimanding their children publicly, the way they get scrutinized is very different than if a white person is doing it
in
public.
And let's take it even a step further, especially because he's a strong, tall, big black man.
Right, this is what I'm saying.
And you got this little baby. Because I was with him. I was like, boy, you better put them damn shoes down.
Yeah. Which is why I'm glad they addressed it on the show, because even lately there have been so many black men who are getting... You know, is this really your child? Yeah. At coffee shops, at airports, you know, about their children who are dark men with light babies. Lighter like it's so again, I'm glad that even so subtly this show is portraying and that,
period,
showing
people
that.
Period. Because I know last week we were talking about the whole NFL, like that moment came right on time. Last night. But even today, you bring up a good point on, you know, questionable children. Just this morning, my phone was going off on Huffington Post about a white woman having a biracial kid on a plane in Southwest was asking her to prove that that was her son. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? Right. Like, if my mom, the country is all get out and she's white, this curly-headed baby, she would have flipped. Right. So, what do you do?
And I think it even shows a little bit of the institutionalism of some of these biases. Because with a black security guard, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, just because it's, you know, we talked about police brutality and people really wanted to paint it as a white-black issue versus an institutional black issue, you know? And so I think you see a little bit of it, versus the actual color of the people involved. So, very interesting stuff. We'll see where that goes. But on more positive news, we do have a lovely podcast by Maria Menounos sharing some great things by lovely guest.
Yes. She's helping us grow in every single area of our life. So we got to give her a shout out.
Absolutely.
It is called Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. It is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, and it drops every single Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister that you have always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free, not a single penny to be paid. Be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know that it was us at the Queen Sugar panel that sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out, y'all.
I wish all the borderlines could listen to that podcast and learn something. Maybe take some notes.
I know, right? Career, check. Relationships, check.
Hollywood financial advice.
Finances, check.
We already see where that's going.
All
we'll get to that. We have to talk a little bit about Jacob and Charlie's Dirty Little Secret. It's starting to present a little bit more of a problem.
Talk about it.
I kind of want it to be something that she kind of just ran with for a while. But it's clearly going to be an issue. Jacob is a little weird to me, just in general.
Right.
What do you guys think about this?
Well, it was interesting because last night when he said at the bar to her, like, oh, man, we're living this little secret. I was like, what's the secret? I was like, did they sleep together? Like, I wanted to know. So it was good to know that, like, it wasn't my worst imagination. Yeah. That it was just that she's kind of kikiing with him, kind of letting him know there might be a chance without there actually being a chance. And so that's what I felt at the boat.
Is that a dangerous game?
It's a very dangerous game. And even her brother warned her. And what I love about this season, Charlie and Ralph Angel, is how close they are. Because remember, this was a rocky when she first came back home. So to see him have her back, like, yeah, you know, we got this. And don't worry. Yo, you good? When Remy, yo, you good? All right. You need that kind of brother in your life. So I'm thankful for that. But again, even Ra had to, like, warn her, like, just, I don't want you to forget about reality. Because you could be pretending long enough that it becomes your reality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You play with fire, you will get burned.
Romero may have something to say about that, but we'll see.
And speaking of getting burned, I just really hope that she does not get burned. For real, for real. And the reason why I say that is because I think ever since, like, last season, we've sensed this this flirtation between them. But the one thing that I will have to say is I feel like they have a lot of similarities. And I said this last season. Yeah. They have similarities with
their character, and I feel like they both are not afraid to play dirty. Mm-hmm. There's an edge to the both of them, and I feel like she is going to see that in him. I think she's already starting to see that, feel like she may become attracted to it.
Yeah.
And that is my fear, is that she becomes attracted to it, and because it's like with Remy, he was the good guy. You know, she got, it's apparent she got tired of that. Even with her husband was dirty, and I feel like maybe that's what attracted her to him, but I just feel like they're going to have some commonalities, and they're going to have keep sharing these moments, and they're really turn into a really big moment, and that's what I'm afraid of. I don't see how she could do it because I'm disgusted, but
yeah. I mean, all these men.
What'd you got?
Coach, tag me in. I'm going to take it to the left for a second, but shout outs to Afro Angola on the chat that just got me crazy because he said, I was disturbed by the scene where Charlie couldn't start her car and a friendly stranger was helping her out.
Yeah.
And I said, wait a minute, because you know I like my adobo, right? Uh-huh. So we'll get into that in a second. But he said it didn't seem like innocent flirting. Something seemed off.
Yeah,
so
now, which I said,
I'm thinking, what if the Landrys, you know, Father Landry knows that there's some flirting going on between Charlie and Jacob? So he's setting her up on purpose to reveal her card, her hand, that she's playing Jacob.
Yeah.
Because Jacob is starting to side with her. Because we saw that at the boat. Like, he's like, now you're part of the family.
Yeah.
You know, I'm helping you because we got this thing. And Landry's trying to show her, she ain't really for you, bruh. And I'm going to show you by bringing this spicy tamale.
You know what I've seen with Charlie, especially now solidly into episode two, she's back to kind of the woman she was before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe now she's actually picked up the pieces to create the authentic woman she thought she was before.
Mm-hmm.
But she feels very fully in her power for me. So I feel like even if they try to maneuver, she's going to be ready for it.
Right.
Whereas before, it felt like she was still picking the pieces, still trying to learn who she was.
I hope so. I hope she's ready for it because there is still a vulnerability to her. And I think that's what he sees. That's what Sam Ranger sees, that vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's this powerful person on the outside, but there's still a softness on the inside. And that's what he's coming for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree. I think she's weak.
Well,
I feel like
really?
I do.
There's a vulnerability.
I feel like she's weak in that area because if you think about all of the moments when she loses herself, it's when it has something to do with love, men, relationships, and that's her weak point. And so I now save what I have to say for predictions, but I feel like that is not a good mix. And as soon as Mr. Romero walked up to
Thank you. Romero.
As soon as he walked up to the window, I was like, where'd you
come
from? I
felt a weird chemistry.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I was
just
like,
matching.
Because that ain't his type of bar.
No.
You was not in his bar. No.
You were not there to get no hot chicken.
But at the same time.
Are you trying to be relatable?
No, but at the same time, it had to be some sort of coincidence. Because like, there's no way.
Can be relatable.
I mean, but there's no way for him to know that her car wouldn't have started, right? Unless somehow did it.
I mean, honestly, if you're in the park, I will say this. I think we're being a little you know.
That can't be good Samaritans.
I think he was
and
a good Samaritan.
And he may just have happened just to be walking by and see this beautiful woman in distress in her car.
Yeah.
So that could be a possibility.
I think that is
Come
what happened.
Come on now. Thank you, Jesus.
I'll stay on this side of the table all by myself. And you guys will see episodes in.
Listen, I will say this. Charlie had Davis, then she had Remy. There's nothing like a little adobo to your life to bring all the flavor that you need.
This one.
I'm just saying. You know, adobo makes everything better.
we saw Ralph Angel, and I don't put it past Charlie to say, let me have a fling. Charlie could have a fling.
Why not?
So, and I'm telling you, I think this is the Charlie that could have a fling and handle it.
You know what? Charlie has never really had a fling. She
went from
Davis.
One serious thing to another.
First. She deserves to have a whole phase.
Let me
a little bit.
No, let me explain. When I say fling, I mean, I think Remy was Charlie's. Remy was where she put emotion into. She was
boring.
Still. I think at this point she's like, whoever comes around is not going to get my heart. But you know, if they can fit in and work in, we can work it out.
As long as she can keep her head in the game, and not get caught up. And I just feel like this guy, he is probably going to be the guy that probably might get her off focus because there are some common. They both are to me. There's a dark side, and they both got snake in them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they both. Yes and no. Deep calls on to the deep, I say their commonality is the fact that to a certain degree they're the black sheeps of their families. You know, Charlie was the outcast.
But exactly, they can relate.
She was the one whose mother, you know, father cheated on the mother. He's same thing. It's like, my one of my parents was poor, the other one was royalty. So it's like they have that commonality of...
But there's nothing like being understood. I'm just saying, like, there's nothing like being understood. So with that being said, they both have vulnerabilities that they can both help each other and accept each other with. It's like, it's nothing
I think she's intrigued by him.
Absolutely.
And low-key kind of likes him.
Bruh, it's happening. Oh, of course. It's going down.
I think she's still playing the game the right way.
She is playing the game, but that don't mean she ain't going to slip and fall on something.
Clearly, this is a family show.
That's why I said slip and
fall on something. Well, you guys get your mind out the gutter.
She might hit her head on the marina
boat.
You're
the one over here talking about shit. Look here. I need to calm her down.
She's going to get on the boat with him. She might slip on the water, hit her head.
Okay, I'm going to call you out. You're the one over here talking about everybody need a little da-da-da in their life. What was that word you used?
Adobo.
Adobo.
I don't know if all that's going to happen, but for those of you who are listening on our iTunes podcast and agree with Francelli, go ahead and give us 5 stars. Go ahead and comment. What do you see for Charlie? What do you see for the rest of the Bordelons?
Or you can hashtag Charlie's Adobo.
I'm interested to see what these iTunes comments are going to look like.
Yeah, right. Hey, what is it? Francelli. Let's make sure you can spell the name right.
Roll the R, please.
Oh, man. And then we got Nova's big decision that kind of played throughout the episode when she finally resigns. I think kind of actually spurred on by watching Violet do her thing.
Right.
But what do we think about kind of Nova's weighing of the two issues and like whether or not her voice would be that affirmative voice?
It's about time.
But you know what? Early signs, I know we talked about it last night, but early signs of her voice going silenced at the very beginning of the episode, the fact that it opens with she's all excited about her newspaper, she's looking for her article, and then all of a sudden, something that we can relate to nowadays, controlling what we see and what we find and what we hear about, is happening to her. Yeah. And so she needs to weigh out, does she want to do that with her continue to be controlled with the newspaper or take that opportunity? But I feel like she should just check the deuces to both and just do her own thing. But
we can take this to a real world thing, sort of like, you know, Roseanne, huge platform. Ooh, she got canceled.
Well, we're going there.
Yeah, for going out of pocket, right?
Yeah.
But the same thing is like they have to, I mean, and part of ABC's decision, I'm sure, was advertisers. Yes. And so same thing for Nova, where they have to consider like, yes, we love her. We love what she's doing here, but we don't want to alienate our advertisers and have the paper be attacked. But if Nova stays on, maybe she can still have a voice. If Roseanne had said nothing but still had the show, she would still have a voice. Mm-hmm. So has she made the right decision by giving up the platform she did have?
You know, it's like her girl said at the table. Like, it's really a really tough decision to make, you know, walking away from security, job security.
And but, the platform. You still had a platform.
But at some point, we all have those kinds of decisions to make in our lives. You know, sink or swim, walk on water, take the leap, whatever you may call it. But at some point, do you forever want to have to answer to someone else?
Right. Yes.
You know, and she has the entrepreneurial spirit. You know, she's always been kind of rogue and a rebel. And you can only work for the man, but for so long when you have that kind of spirit. And I think every person who has an entrepreneurial spirit out there, you all come to that crossroad. Yeah. How long do I want to continue to work for someone else? Clock in, clock out. Someone else tell me what to do. And as much as the freelancer life is scary, you don't know where your next check is coming from.
Right.
But there's a freedom in that.
Freedom. I think it's so good to finally see her own that voice because for so long she was afraid to own it. And you had so many people that we've seen, and I hope they bring them back, you know, her old boo. You know, so many people that believed in her, and she's like, I'm not trying to be this person. I'm not trying to be this. But it's like her destiny is like she's walking in it. It's like you can't hide from it. It's going to happen. Like with this book deal, you know, I was so happy to see that because her voice needs to be heard. She needs to be doing these school tours. Like, I mean, you could tell that she wants that so much, even just the conversation she was having with those students. You know, so it's like there's just the evolution of her character and seeing her character just become more just proud of who she is and just stepping into that strength. I really hope that it's more than just a book deal. It's more than just a speaking tour. It actually turns into a platform.
Yeah.
You know, like she, because that's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, she's leaving this platform. I hope that she creates her own. Will she create her own?
I hope so. And hopefully handle it responsibly. Because just like with the Roseannes of the world, you have that other side of it where you can speak your truth and your truth turns out to be just like really negative towards your entire life.
And it's not just like one-sided, that she listens and she hears people.
That's the route that I was going to take, is the fact that she can listen just to write an article, like she can understand. Some people don't have that, so they don't get it. Need to get it twisted with, I speak my voice and not everybody likes it. You only have to relate to 25% of people in this world and you are still a success. 10% of the people, 2%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just think if you do it with the right intent to be understanding of others, then you're in a good place. Other people that just throw that out there just for the sake of hatred or trying to get attention, no go.
And we see kind of Micah falling into Noah's footsteps, and he had like a really nice storyline. It's nice when the kids on some of these shows, you see them kind of come into their own, storylines and grow up. And he's obviously over a little bit of the shell shocked nature of what happened last season, and he's woke, I guess, you know.
I'm glad you mentioned Micah, because I think we were so afraid of what was going to happen to his character because of the traumatic experience that he went through.
Right.
But to see him taking pride in who he is, because he's always been the token black boy. Yeah. Yes. You know, it's so good to see him saying, you know what, I'm a black boy, I want to go to public schools. His voice is just starting to come alive, and I love it.
Mm. Right.
Like, I can't wait to see how his character continues to just build and unfold.
And then, for him, he just gets it at both ends, because someone who went to private school, you know, you get from the kids at private school, they don't understand blackness or what it means. And then you get from your black friends, you're too white. So you really don't have that place where you fit in. He finally is starting to
feel
that.
And he's starting to understand who he is. He's not following his father's footsteps or his mother. He is being Micah. Yeah.
Right.
I love it.
And it's interesting. I love the twist of the writing, because it's like, at first I'm like, oh, Micah lost that battle to be able to go to public school. Like, she shut it down. And then how he became a voice for the voiceless in a particular way through his photography and his talent, and his voice in that way without even speaking spoke so much volumes, how they say a picture's worth 1,000 words. And there were so many words in those photos that his mother was moved and inspired to say, you know what, let's give this a try.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what a turn of events for his storyline.
Yeah.
And a great way of like mother and son kind of compromised and seeing, I can see what this means to you based on looking through your expression through this art.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought Micah, to me, wasn't a person until this moment where she was able to see him.
Right.
Ooh. And when she saw him, it was like,
Come on, I'm snapping at Shaka today.
And so I just thought it was a great scene, because Charlie did what was best for Micah. That her whole argument was the right argument.
Right.
Until she saw, wait a minute, this is something more than just you want to go to public school. It's like who you are now.
Right. And then it's like, parents are so overprotective. That's her baby, you know? Yeah. But it's like, now she's starting to see him as a man. He's going off to college soon, you know? Like, he's got a year and a half before he goes off to school. So I'm just like, yes, mama. Yes, Micah.
Yeah. This is the moment, too, when, you know, again, shout out to Charlie for making that right decision. But this is a moment when, if you shelter a child, a teenager, from being who they are and from growing, it's only going to hurt them in the future. Yes. And so it is just a beautiful moment that she let go of that shell on the outside of that seed, praise you, Jesus, to let him grow.
And I don't think she would have done that last season, because I feel like her life was so chaotic, she needed as much control as possible.
Yes.
Right.
And now she got to a point where she didn't need to be, she just had to see the information for herself.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. And then, of course, we had Hollywood and Vi, my favorite couple.
Come on, we
had to start with Tina. We had to start with that private dancer.
Hollywood was looking like his name, bag full of money. He got that check.
That might be a little issue, though, right?
I know.
Because he is just like ready to spend. First, they went on that quick trip, and the minute the check came in, he's like,
we going to the bank.
Yeah.
Right. But you know what? I love that. That Aunt Vi had to kind of slow him down, because she was like, look, you done came up on your money. That's great. I'm happy for you. But for me and my business,
I'm working still.
I need to walk in my purpose.
Which
I need
nice.
To fulfill this.
Which was super nice to say, you know, as a female, she's not just, money's coming in. I can relax. I can chill.
let me pay somebody to make these pies. Yeah. No, this is my love. Mm-hmm. This is my purpose.
I think that's also a really great message for the Black community, because I think it's just like, you know, when we sometimes when we get something, we're so quick to spend it because mm-hmm. we're not always used to having it. Yeah. You know, so it's like, look, we still got to keep working. Like, we still got to keep going. We can't just spend this money. Yeah. At least I know that's how it was where I come from.
And right? a lot of times you're spending for other people. Like, Hollywood, his heart is so big. He wants to spend others.
Yeah, and help others. But we got to maintain this piece of the pie before we go off and we spend the whole thing.
Well, Shaka brought it up last night, too, but I just have to say it again. I really do love a storyline of an older couple and specifically an older Black woman's journey of finding herself and her purpose, that it's not over. That just because your dreams weren't fulfilled in your 20s or your 30s or even your 40s, here's a woman in her 60s and she's saying, it's my time. Yes. You know, God's not done with me yet. If I'm still on this planet, I still got things to do. And I think that that's an important message for human beings across the board, that age doesn't define you having some sort of vigor for life.
Right. Yeah, your ambition.
Because life hasn't stopped yet. If that's the case, then you shouldn't be here anymore. Right.
And then not to mention, a lot of people in that age group, that 59, 60, they're getting replaced by millennials. Right. Just like she said, I'm almost 60 and I will not be sidetracked. Right. That's what people her age feel. They're being sidetracked. They don't have jobs. It's so difficult. So many people are committing suicide at that age. Right. And that's another conversation that's not being had. Right. The number of people that commit suicide because they feel like there's nothing left for them. Right. There's no opportunities. So that was also really great. Great messaging to throw in the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think especially minority communities, but I was just thinking the other day, like, 60 and 70 is vital when you think Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton were one of the oldest two presidents. And that's the highest seat in the land. So, you know, you can be 70 and still have places and miles to go.
Right. Yeah. John McCain.
You know, Bernie Sanders, like, all these people that run the country are over 70 years old. Yeah. I don't think we get that message a lot in minority communities. Mm-hmm. We don't see it as much at all. Right. So definitely good to see Vi kind of pushing that message and inspiring Nova to go do her thing. And Nova's, you know, obviously younger. So
as we're running through goals and our purpose, self-care is really, really important.
Yeah.
And I think that Aunt Vi sometimes tries to go too hard in the paint.
Oh, all the time.
You know, and she clearly has lupus. We found that out during season 2. And, you know, Nova was trying to be like, hey, you know, this pie order was like, might have been too much. I mean, she got it done. But again, I think the fine line is, when do we find the time? When is too much too much? And when do we take the time to take a break or take a bubble bath or go on a long walk or just take the day off? You have sick days for a reason, people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think I was telling my best friend this the other day because she was at work. And I was like, look, if something happened to you and you end up in the hospital, in the next day, they'll find someone to replace you. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's just how that works. So it's like, if you need it, take it.
And, you know, I'm into health and fitness. So I was loving when Nova came over with food and, like, organic stuff to help her. And that's another message we don't get in the minority community is, like, our food is what really fuels our health. You know?
Come on.
So we get too much, go to the doctor, and then we don't go to the doctor, and then we don't get our health taken care of, and things go south.
Mentally, too. Mentally.
Yeah. Mental.
Because there are so many tests and all that have been out that say, you know, certain foods can put you in a certain mindset and trailer you down into a tunnel of depression. And I 100%. Completely agree with that.
Yeah, or help you get out of the depression caused by the diagnosis.
Yes.
You know?
Right. Or the medicines that they put you on because of the diagnosis.
Exactly. Like, so I just love that we're getting a little bit of these little messages to our communities. We got a special segment. We got our tweet, our sweet tweet.
Sweet tweet.
Do we have a little sound effect yet for that one? I think you... Oh, there we go.
Yes. You know it.
Sweet tweet.
So for our sweet tweet, to kind of share our tweetable moments, we'd love if you guys have tweetable moments in the chat. We'll definitely call you guys out. What were some of y'all's tweetable moments?
You know what? I love... And such a nice transition from, you know, us talking about this show does such a good job putting things into our brains, whether it be subconsciously or so loudly. But one of my tweetable moments was when Nova was deciding, you know, what to do and, you know, finding herself back in her articles that she's written before. she picked up a title. She picked up an article that she wrote called the titled "The Wound That Heals Itself."
Yes.
So I found it so my tweetable moment is just the message and the knowledge that this show drops. And that newspaper clipping was on the screen for like maybe 2 or 3 seconds, but it highlighted a moment, the Central Park Five. For those that don't know about it, like 1989, five guys mixed between Black and Latino were accused of rape and assault. And surprisingly, weirdly, soon after our president now, Trump, spent like a tune of like $85,000 worth of advertisements to New York papers to pretty much say how the death penalty needs to be, you know, brought on back, you know, reawaken that bad boy. And he didn't mention these young guys' names specifically. And I love that we're putting a picture up, but
yes.
They were later acquitted. They were DNA, you know, technology with DNA proved that they didn't do it. But how slick is it? How beautiful is it that they insert an article written by Nova about this whole situation? So, you know, if you didn't already know, now you know. Right. And it's just a beautiful moment.
That's called a diverse, inclusive writer's room.
Well, you know, Ava DuVernay, yeah. who is the creator of this show, mm-hmm. is actually doing the Netflix series on the Central Park Five.
Yes.
So, you know, she knows how to...
I know, right? Yeah. Bring it on around.
Bring that whole thing full circle. She knows how to do that thing.
If Miss Witch shows up doing...
Right.
Bring it all around. Because people like us, we pause and we take pictures and we read the full article.
Right.
You know, and then we, you know, do our research. But...
Do you guys have any tweetable moments?
Oh, of course I got tweetable
Sweet
moments.
Sweet tweet.
Yeah. I mean, okay. All right. So one part that I really, really liked was when Ralph Angel was talking to Blue and he said, Blue, you don't have a bad bone in your body.
Yes.
When he was talking about him being bad. And that for me... it felt a little personal because growing up, my brothers would get into a lot of trouble, and the thing that people would always label them was bad, or like my sister might sometimes call my nephew bad. I'm like, don't call that baby bad, but it's like when you attach a label to a person, and for so long, if you continue to call them by that name, they what? They can speak that into a reality, or that can become their reality. So it was just really nice for him to say that, because that message in itself is powerful.
Yes.
You don't have... He was like, Daddy, I'm so sorry for being bad. For him to say, Blue, you don't have a bad bone in your body, that to me is a sweet tweet. Definitely a tweetable moment.
Shout out to our beautiful engineer.
I love my producer.
These pictures.
Yes,
I love
amazing.
It.
He's great, y'all. He's so great.
I had a couple of tweetable moments. I guess, I'll just mention two. I thought the first one was Remy and Charlie talking in the diner.
Yeah.
And the question was, are you a good guy? Yeah, but you're not getting your hands dirty.
Mm.
And I thought that was such an important moment because Charlie said she's not going to sit on the sidelines and watch it all happen.
Right.
And I just thought that was a tweetable moment because it's a question that we should all ask ourselves. At what point... are we willing to do something for a stated goal that's going to benefit the community or whoever it is we're worried about at large? Or when do we go too far by, like, not really being authentic in that? Because she's really kind of showing the face of Queen Sugar, but, you know, but she's still helping them out. At the end of the day, they are paying higher rates without her doing what she's done.
Right, yeah.
So I just thought that was a great moment to kind of contemplate for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we've got to go to Vi's moment towards the end.
Oh,
which I'm going to actually probably laminate and put on my wall. And
come on now.
Say it every day.
Come on now.
But what do we have?
Put it up there. Which Hydro Knight on the chat said that was his tweetable moment,
of
too.
Of course. I will not be sidelined.
On Vi.
Oh, on Vi.
Yeah, she said, I will not be sidelined, sidetracked, or sidestepped, or put in any damn corner to wait my turn. Again, it's my time. It's my time. So, I got to make sure I get that quote correct and write it down and put it up.
Yes.
But that was
glory.
Like, that was a moment.
Right.
Know?
Such a moment.
We all felt that.
And, it was great.
We all have that feeling. Like, at some point, you're like, no, it's my time. Like, I've waited. I've put in my dues. I've paid. Mm-hmm. I've done the hard work. And so, it was relatable at any age, but really, it was really powerful watching Vi say that.
Yeah. I have goosebumps right now.
Yeah, just like.
It was, ooh. All right, for bye.
Sure. Did you have a tweetable moment?
I don't, because, you know, I got these news coverage.
Yes.
So we're going to go ahead and slide onto the news.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Well, you know, watching episodes 1 and 2, I'm like, where's Kiki, y'all? Has anyone else felt that way?
Where's Kiki?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like she was sick, so she couldn't cheer, and then she's on the phone, and I'm like, but she's not in any episodes. So you know, yeah. I started doing some snooping and some digging.
Yes,
so
girl.
Kiki, aka Tanny Fanny on the IG.
Tanny Fanny.
You know, she may not be on Queen Sugar, and on IMDb, I don't see any creds for season 3. So I don't know if she's coming back this season, guys, and I'm really sad about that. But she is keeping busy. She just wrapped a movie called Louisiana Caviar. Nice. And she actually has two horror projects, Ma and Gothic, that are Gothic Harvest, which are currently in post production. So this girl is working. So maybe there was a scheduling conflict to why she couldn't be in season 3, because she over here booking shows.
And not want to put it up yet.
She on the road. She doing some things.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
What y'all think? Okay, so if she is not going to be in this season, what do you think they're going to say about her character? Like, what do you...
Well, maybe if he goes to public school.
And it's high school.
And
so
she's
like,
in private
school.
She could
have moved away. And a lot of, I mean, they could, you know.
People break up all
text
the time.
Message.
Yeah, something happened.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you left
but
me.
But you know what? I'll save mine for prediction.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So, in other news,
I got one on that.
Yeah.
In other news, I wanted to cover something very, very, you know, personal to me, because we were talking about kind of ex-cons and that whole, like, going into society. And I was like, when I looked at the synonyms, they really made me feel some type of way. Bandit, hoodlum, mobster, outcast, gangster, criminal. And I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
But according to the Urban Institute Justice Policy Center, from the perspective of 740 former male prisoners coming from Illinois, Ohio, and Texas, 74% of them were Black, 16% of them were European American, and 9% Latino, average age around 35. Mm. They did a study to see how much of them can actually get employment after they come out of prison. And so months after getting out of prison, about 2 to 3 months after, only 31% of them were actually employed. 20% of them felt like their parole officer was helpful, which in Ralph Angel's case, his parole officer is really on his team. And 70% of them felt that their records affected their job search. And commonly, ex-cons, the jobs that they get, 27% of them do construction or manual labor, and 12% maintenance. They really don't get to do much outside of that. So just wanted to give some fun facts on that.
No, well, not fun.
Not so
fun.
Well,
you know.
But yeah, it's
real.
And I think that the show highlights that. It's so tough to kind of get back. And how do we give people a path back?
Mm-hmm.
But also letting the society at large know. Because you might want to know if you're hiring someone who's been in jail or had a conviction.
Yeah.
But how do you do that, but also balance it with giving everyone a full free chance at society again?
And it's like a broken circle. I mean, you get out of jail. If you're on parole, you have to find a job.
Yeah.
You have to have a job. And then you can't find a job because you just got out of jail.
And you get out of jail broke because you work for 10 cents an hour.
Right,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I may, real quick, guys, before we move on to predictions, did we talk about Ava's tweet yesterday?
No.
I just want to make sure we do. Okay, so I'm hopping in just because this was such a boss moment from Ava.
Yeah.
We talked a bit about Roseanne, and it was canceled, but Ava tweeted this. I'm going to show it on the screen right now. For the record, this is Channing Dugney. Just so you guys know, she's the VP of development at ABC.
Yeah.
Sitting on top of your world like a queen in full judgment of your garbage and taking it out. Hashtag Roseanne.
Yes.
So
yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
I think it's nice to see companies like ABC, even Starbucks, making swift moves to address
Very
some
swift.
Of this stuff that's happening.
I love it.
Good
Thank
for
you.
Them.
Is everyone able to hear him as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Just making sure. I was like.
So let's move on to predictions, guys.
Yeah.
Yes. Predictions.
We don't have the drop right now, so we can just move into it, guys.
Okay.
So
one of my predictions, I know I said I had a couple. The whole Kiki thing, just because I don't want to forget.
Oh, yeah.
I think, but she's busy, so, you know, they might have to write her out. If they do write her out, I think that he is going to end up falling for the female student that went on court to protest. Because there was there was a good connection. She kind of helped him see a better side of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you can probably speak on this being the man, but a man loves a woman that can bring the best out of him, you know. So, I know my husband.
Yeah. I'm like rooting for that storyline. Now I'm rooting for
so
that
story. You know, that's one of them. Like, but, my other one was with Charlie and this whole Jacob situation. I think, obviously, they might take it there. They will do their due. I think she will somewhat become attached emotionally. But I think Jacob might be the one that will fall for Charlie. And then she reminds herself really quickly that, hey, look, where I used you pretty much. I feel like she's going to backstab Jacob, which will in turn again make her look like a bad person, because again, I said it last night, I feel like she is battling, right. is she really a good person? You could be a bad person with good tendencies and not the other way around. So, you know, a good person with bad tendencies, she's, you know, that's mine.
Ooh. No. Leave me for last. I don't even.
Well, can you go? Because I'm still trying to decide my prediction.
Well, I will say I think Charlie's going to actually have like a boss season. I think we will question whether or not she's good or bad at the end of it. But I think she's going to leave the season relatively unscathed. I think she's going to be like about her stuff. She will probably neglect Mike a little bit. And I think he's going to have a breakout season because he's in the midst of like, not necessarily turmoil, but finding himself and doing it loudly as we all do when we're kids. And we're like, okay, you find out something new, you're ready to just march. So I think he might be on a different tip that might lead to kind of like sort of not great things happening for him. Especially when this whole Orson video, that looks like it affected him in some way. And I think he's not altogether there yet. So
yeah.
I think a lot of trouble for Micah. I see Ralph, Angel, and Blue drifting apart, I see a little suitcase with a little teddy bear kind of out.
It's not a teddy bear. It's Kenya. Get it right.
My bad. So I do see that happening. I think obviously we saw in the preview Nova's going to be headed for a little bit of pain, but I do think she'll work with those editors, and I think it'll end up being a situation where they don't understand her quite the same way, but hopefully she'll resolve it.
Great predictions. I would have to say, I feel like there's going to be a drift between Aunt Vi and Hollywood. I feel like we're already starting to see the drift, and they keep mentioning, Aunt Vi keeps saying, I don't want things to change. And I feel like the money's going to kind of get to Hollywood just a little bit. He's going to start overspending. She's not going to like it, and they're going to bump heads because of that. Nova. Oh
yeah, I know.
I don't want to see that.
Me either. But I think it's going to happen. I think with Nova, I feel like we're really going to start to see her come into her own. She's going to be this more confident person, but I feel like a lover is going to reemerge as they always do. And they're going to kind of throw her off her guard a little bit. But hopefully this new and improved Nova will be able to stand her ground.
Yeah, I think Dubois is coming
stay
back.
Strong.
I forgot to mention that. I think Dubois is coming back.
If you're watching.
He's coming back.
Yeah.
I hope you come back. I'm rooting for you.
It's interesting because last night, episode, Les UX said something about thinking that possibly Darla's going to abandon Blue, and I was like, whoa. It's a crazy prediction, but I think that Darla's going to abandon Blue so that Ralph Angel will have no choice but to keep him. I think that might be the plan. The thing with Blue is, hold on, let her him speak her. The thing with Blue is that we don't know if Darla is telling the truth about the biological father. I wouldn't put it past this show to have the bio dad show up wanting to take Blue.
Oh, I think that could happen. I don't think Darla's leaving Blue.
Felt like that was an interesting perspective in terms of predictions. So
that's
like,
a possibility.
That's a great perspective.
I feel like once she didn't relapse, we kind of know that she's like has the strength and is determined.
Because
she didn't relapse because of Blue.
But she could relapse in a different way, meaning this is her moment to have her life. She's like, I'm feeling myself. I'm finally feeling success. We saw how good she looked on that FaceTime video. She was walking in success. And so she could easily be like, look, things are here for me right now. I'm in my purpose. Look, Blue, I mean.
And if anybody laps, it's going to be Ralph Angel with these girls, okay? I think things are going to get a little out of hand
Drinking a lot.
He's drinking. He got these little hoes coming to the house.
You know, for Ralph Angel, you have to realize, as a black man, it's so hard, especially for him and his situation.
So hard.
So, it is, though. You work and you still find
yourself. I'll hear
yourself.
You out.
I'm going to strong chocolate sexy man.
Life is hard, and you work to not fall into certain traps, and then you think, oh, man, I've had this kid out of wedlock. Like, I want to deal with this right now.
It's not a trap.
A trap of life, where, like, where you're having a kid, you're not prepared for it. So, like, you're like, but you're doing your best, and then you find out, wait a minute, I could have parole in 3 months. That was a mistake I didn't make. And so, like, all of a sudden, you are almost have a new lease on life.
It's a lot of pressure.
And you don't want to necessarily go forward with raising a kid. How do you now tell him, well, you're not really my, like...
He doesn't have...
But you owe the child some honesty, though, right? So
that's
how do you now,
thing,
or do you say I owe you some honesty?
When is the timing right to even have that kind of conversation?
Now your mom made a mistake. You gotta go home. But anyway,
we'll be back next week.
We can talk about that.
Because that's crazy.
You out of hand, Shaka. You are out of hand.
Shaka out of hand. We gotta go. Well, that's crazy.
I'm just saying, 10 more years or 12 more years of like parenting, plus you know the adulthood parents versus rip the band-aid off now. Here's the truth of the matter. Living with Darla and some great grandparents. But think about it. I think that's where we're gonna go, though. Anyways, I guess.
Look here. I was hearing you out. Yeah. I was trying to give you the. I was like, look, boo, I got you. I'll hear
I'm
you
going
out.
Home after that. That's too much.
Yeah, it's time to wrap. It's time to get out of here.
I'm with you, Sally. I'm gonna ride with you.
Yeah, we gotta go.
We go. You ready?
I may not be popular.
Uber for what?
We gonna ride with Sally.
We'll see you guys next week again. My name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
It's so good to be back, y'all. It's your girl, Miss Candy Marie. You can find me on Instagram at Miss Candy Marie and on Twitter at Sweet Candor TV.
It's your favorite Afro Latina, Franceli Chapman. Hang out with me at All Things at Selly Hangout and watch me on the 6th right here at AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah, and it's Takira Shabre. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Takira_Shabre. Do not forget to leave a comment in our iTunes, baby. We love to see them, especially all of this that we just talked about. Lord have mercy. Thanks, guys.
See you guys this week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.